Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. Crucified, Lord. Risen, Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord is in the house. Hallelujah. You turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, and as you're turning, remember that this Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock is prayer meeting, our family worship night, Wednesday at 7:30, and then this Friday we are hosting a youth rally, and one of ours is going to be preaching. Does anyone know who Tim Lorito is? Amen. He's going to be preaching a youth rally this a Friday night. Would invite everybody. Someone asked me, and it's a good question, is that just for the youth? No, we focus on the youth, but we need everybody's help and participation. And just come. We're the host, and it would just be good to have you here in those services, that service. Praise God. Romans chapter 12, God met us in a very special way. And the title's already up there. I do know English. I taught it in college, but there's a purpose of putting it this way. And besides that, now they're starting to accept even that. So, you know, if you say it wrong long enough, finally it gets accepted. That's a lot of people's attitude about the thing. But I do want to preach this morning, ain't humble, ain't holy. Ain't humble, ain't holy. If you'd stand for the reading of God's word, we're going to begin reading at verse 3. We left off at verse 2 last Sunday. We're talking about salvation in Romans. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Verse 3 is our focus. I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, for as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. If it ain't humble, it ain't holy. I believe if we're giving ourselves to live the holy will of God for our lives, we will evidence that by humility in all we say and do. If we're really giving ourselves to the life of God, the evidence of that will be a humility in our lives. Not an inferiority complex, but a humility in our lives. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your people. Shut up our hearts and our minds to the truth. May the truth of your word, the same spirit that inspired it to be written in your word, may that spirit anoint me, God, that I might give the word, and anoint ears to hear, that they might receive the word. And God, may we have another time together with you of having our hearts lifted into your presence and hearing from heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said, amen. We're just for a second here going to go back to verses 1 and 2. We preached last week, that is in all of Paul's epistles, there's always a turning point. There's a pivot, there's a hinge where he goes from sharing the lofty truths to how those truths should apply in our everyday living. He goes from the theological to the practical. He has done this in Romans. The first 11 chapters, he's talked about justification and glorification and sanctification and all these lofty truths. But verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12 is that pivot point where he says, I'm going to leave the lofty truth and I'm going to bring it down to how we ought to live this in our everyday living. I want to read those two verses again. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I preached last week, it only makes sense. It's your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, the way that God wants us to live in these verses, when he talks about living the will of God, when he talks about giving ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice, he's going to tell us what that way is, starting with verse 3. Even, you see, I mentioned last week that so often these two verses I just read are the rallying call for we holiness folks. And we talk about giving our bodies so that they're habit-free, giving our bodies so they are modest and not marked up, cut up, all these things. And that is an extended application of these verses. But Paul is going to tell us how to give our bodies in the verses that are coming up. He's going to tell us how that we give our bodies a living sacrifice. And in the verses that I have read today and will read next week, he says the way we give our bodies, number one, is in our ministry to others within the church. You give your body a living sacrifice by giving yourself to minister to others within the church. And the verses next week, Paul says we give our bodies a living sacrifice in the way we live in our relationship with others in the world. Yes, I want to give my body to the Lord. Yes, I want to keep it pure. Yes, I want it to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. But Paul said giving my body is being willing to minister to my brother and live in right relationship in this world. Amen. I just want to tell you where Paul is coming from. And that brings us to verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. In other words, Paul said, if you're going to live holy, if you're going to live the holy will of God, amen, you cannot have a conceited idea of yourself. Paul says, live holy, but don't think highly. Amen. Live holy, but don't think highly. In other words, humility should pervade and permeate all we do. Well, what about that title, Pastor? Ain't humble, ain't holy. That first happened right here in this sanctuary. I was praying years ago one morning, even walking around the building, and God began to deal with my heart about some things, and it impacted me like this. I mean, I know the English wasn't right, but it hit me with an impact. I stopped in my tracks, and God made so real to me. You can call it what you want to call it. You can lift it way up here. You can say it's better than anything else and everybody else and more righteous. But what impacted my heart, God spoke to me. If it ain't humble, it ain't holy. If it ain't humble, it ain't holy. If it's conceited and self-righteous, amen, and lifting up of self, amen, whatever you call it, it is not holy. It must be humble. I preached a series of sermons on that at another place. And I'm just going to share a little bit of that. Brother Tim, help me here. I'm losing myself. Amen. Praise the Lord. I begin to think about that and these verses here. You know, one of the ways you can tell the holy isn't humble. Here, I'm just going to give you one of those and I'm going to get to these verses. One way you can tell the holy isn't humble is when what is supposed to be holy sets itself up as the measure for everybody else. I was at a meeting, at least our young people were at a meeting, and we're getting in trouble here. I was wanting to leave it anonymous, and the individual was preaching on holiness and made the statement, if you want to know what it is, look up here at me and I'll show you in this one matter, I'll show you what holiness is. Just look at me. I mean, I'm telling you, there's no humility humility in that. There's nothing but arrogance and smugness in that. Another meeting, the preacher was saying, all these other groups don't have the Holy Spirit. With that, he laid the microphone down and did him a dance and just dance. And then he picked up the microphone and said, if you want to know what the Holy Ghost was, that was the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, that sends chills all through me. Even if I know anything about this book, if it's lifting up self, if it's lifting up man, if it's lifting up an individual, amen, there isn't any holy in that. Amen, if it ain't humble, it ain't holy. Hallelujah. One man told me he worked at a factory here in the area, and he said he worked with some men from another church. I know I may get in trouble, but I'm just going to preach to you, amen, and tell you the way it was. He said those men from the other church, knowing the church that I was from, looked at me and said, you want to know something? There isn't a church within 50 miles that's good enough for us to fellowship in. Now, they may think that's holy. I don't think that's holy. There isn't a bit of humility in it. I'm telling you, show me a heart, amen, that is bowing in the presence of Christ. Show me someone that's crushed to think what their sins put Christ through. Show me someone that's humble, and I'll show you someone that's holy. But if it ain't humble, it ain't holy, however you call it. Hallelujah. In giving ourselves to God, we should consider what He's given us. In all we do in the church, we should think of what the church has meant to us. In considering what we have to offer others, we should consider what others have offered and given to us. I believe the motive for living right is revealed in our attitude. If we're really living right or attempting to live right, even our attitude will be, my heart is humbled in the presence of God. If one thinks his living right makes him right with God, he'll be self-righteous. He'll emanate, I am holier than thou. If one thinks he's better than others because he's living a different way, amen, he'll be arrogant and condescending and harsh. I never said you wouldn't live right. I just said if you're really living right and your motive's right and your attitude's right, it won't be self-righteous. It won't be arrogant. It won't be, I'm way up here and everybody else is way down. Oh, if you're really living right, there'll be a humility and a humbleness about you that'll say nothing. But I'm just grateful God saved me. I'm saved by His grace. I'm only here because I'm washed in the blood. If there's any good in my life, He put it there. Even if I'm walking right, it's by the power of the Spirit within me. It's because He's given me the book, amen, to govern my life by. Amen. Let's look at the scriptures. Why should we be humble if we're going to be holy? He said, through the grace given unto me. I'll tell you why we should be humble, because God does the giving. Through the grace given unto me. Paul said, I'm going to say something to you, not out of arrogance. I'm going to say it to you, not because I think I'm up here and you're down here, but I'm going to say something to you by the grace that was given me. I'm telling you, that's the humility we need. Oh, if there's any good in my life, it was from the grace that God has given. If anyone had the reason and basis to boast of being holy, it was the Apostle Paul. Look at the work of God that he done. Look what he had suffered. If anyone could boast of being talented and being a blessing to God's people, it would be the Apostle Paul. Yet he doesn't say anything, amen, about how good he is and how righteous he is. He said, if I have anything to say, it's because of the grace that God has given me. I was undeserving and I was unworthy, but if I've achieved anything, if I've gotten to any place, if I have anything to say, if I live a holy life, it was because God gave me grace. Oh, what humility in the Apostle Paul. Even if I have any good in my life, if I have any ability, any talent, if I've achieved anything, it's simply because of what God has given me. I've talked to singers before, the young people. You know, if you can sing really well like I can, you know, It's easy to get a big head. Boy, I can sing. I can hit those notes, you know. And I've talked to him, you know, if you can sing well, what credit can you take? God designed your vocal cords. I mean, what did you do that your nasal cavities are shaped differently than someone that can't carry a tune? I got different nasal cavities. Where'd you get them? Yes, you can take satisfaction in practicing, making the best use of it. But if you got ability like singing, you should only lift up your heart with the humility and say, God, what I have, you gave it. And I would like to say the same. If there's any righteous living in my life, if I have pure thoughts and deeds and a pure life, I can't say, me, look at me. I can only lift my heart and hands and say, oh, thank you, God, that you bestow grace upon me. To every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's why I'm preaching this. If it isn't humble, it isn't holy. And whenever I become aware of my holiness, whenever I become smug with my holiness, my self-righteousness, that I'm a notch above others, I just lost it. I know I got a warped sense of humor, but one of the funniest little stories I ever heard was one church thought they'd start awarding people for good characteristics in their life. And they called one brother up one Sunday morning and gave him this real nice lapel pin. They said, we're calling him up here. We're giving him this award because we don't know of anyone more humble in our church. And so we're going to give this lapel pin to this man for being the most humble in the church. They gave it to him. He pinned it on. But they took it away from him because he wore it. He just lost his humility. I'm humble. There's my pen to prove it. And I truly believe it's that way with holy living. The moment I become self-aware that I am holy, I done lost it. How many believes what I'm preaching? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe if it's true holiness, it'll be humble. And I also believe if it's true humility, it'll be holy. There's no pride like the pride of false or postured humility. Going to move on. Amen. Why should we be humble? Because God has given something not just to me. God has given something to every one of His children. Look what He says in the last part of the verse. As according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. I may have good in my life, but what is that to boast? I may have ability. God has given to every man. Oh, I wish I could get this through to folks. If you are born again, if you're washed in the blood, you may never be on this platform, but that doesn't change the fact that God has given to every one of His children. He's given them gifts. He's given them ability. He's given them a role to play. He's given them grace. You say, I can't do anything. Wait a minute. Don't go against Scripture. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. So why am I getting proud? Amen. God's given to everybody. I'm not special that He's given to me. Amen. And I'm not trying to make us feel bad. There's a lot of things we can talk about if that was the message. We are special. Amen. He didn't love us because we're special, but we're special because He loved us. But I'm saying, where are we to boast? Amen. God has given to every man. Amen. The good in our lives isn't what we already had. The good in our lives is what God has given us. The blessing we might be to others comes not from what we had. The blessing comes from what God has given us. He's given to every person the measure of faith. And here, faith isn't just the ability to believe, but the measure of faith is the empowerment of God. God, the result of faith, amen, a peace of living the life of God, amen. I may have a truth, I may got a hold of this truth, I may have a grasp of a truth that a lot of other people don't have a grasp of, but at the same time, there's a lot of other people that have a grasp on a truth that I don't have a grasp on. I may really have something down to the T of living it right, Brother Wilson. I mean, I may got a hold of that thing, and I can and live it right. And there's other people that don't have a hold of it. But at the same time, there's other people that's got a hold of living something. I've not got a hold of it yet. As far as I know, there's only been one perfect man. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He had a hold of all the truth. He meant, I know our church, and I love to believe this, and I believe it's true. We got a hold of some truths that some other churches don't have a hold of. But there's no place for arrogance and elitism, because there's other churches that's got a hold of some truths that we don't have a hold of. The thing is, we don't compare. Amen. We don't grade. We just say we're going to follow Christ all of the way. We won't want to be like this one or that one. We want to be like Jesus. We're not going to compare ourselves among ourselves. I may have certain gifts and talents to use in the work of God, amen, that others don't have. Not everybody can sing like I can sing. Our visitors don't know that I'm joking, but you guys do. You may not be able to sing like some of these up in choir, but there's things you can do that they can't do. I marveled. I wanted to say thank you earlier as one of the families from the wedding yesterday, and I appreciate everything that everybody did. And but as I hanged around afterwards and saw everything that people were doing, I just marveled at how so many just jumped in and did their thing during the wedding. Amen. Brother Tim Kaser and Brother Mike Durth, I know they can't sing as good as I can, but I can't do the things they do back there like they can. Right? He's given to every man a measure of faith. I've got a grasp on some things that others don't, but they got a grasp on what I don't. And to give my body is to realize I'm given what I have, and others are given what they have, and God moves through that for His kingdom. Why should I be humble? Why should we be humble? Because we each have a different role to play and a different job to do. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. It's not talking about an office in the church, deacon, trustee, elder, pastor. The office means the role to play. Every one of us has a different role to play. Amen. I can't say, well, you know, I'm really something because I'm preaching. That's just the role I've been given. Amen. Others have a role that I haven't been given. Oh, if we could just get a hold of this, amen, we'd have revival like we never had. Every one of you here that's born again, you have something to give to the King. Kingdom of God, and that gives you confidence. But for others that think that they're the only one that can run the show, forget it. God's given every man something that is needed in the body of Christ. Another reason we should be humble is we are nothing without others. We are nothing without others. It says here we have many members in one body. Amen. He says later, he talks about as he expands on this, that every member benefits from what the other supplieth. I've said it many times, I'll say it again. We are together what we could never be apart. We are together what we could never be apart. I just mentioned Paul expands on this in another place, and forgive the silliness of it, but think of your own body. How many's thankful you got a nose? Amen. Well, the rest of you, we'll see about plastic surgery for you if you're not glad you got a nose. But what if your whole face was shaped like a nose? And your ears were shaped like nose? And your eyes were shaped like noses? And your mouth was nothing but a nose? And your fingers were noses? And your kneecaps looked like noses? Won't go there. Your toes looked like noses? Wouldn't that be a monstrosity? Look, you should be thankful God has given you what He's given you to do. But if everybody only had that gift, we wouldn't have much, would we? We'd have a monstrosity. That's what Paul is saying. We all have something to offer. We all have a role to play. The hand can do a marvelous job, and the hand may do things for the body. But the point is, the hand could not do anything for the body if it were not for the body to which it were attached. A person can get to thinking, look what I do for the church. Look at all the things I do. Thank God that you do them, but you could not do them if you were not attached to the church. It's the body that gives the vitality, the strength, the nutrients, everything to the hand, so the hand can do something. And that's what Paul's trying to get across. Thankfully, you got a gift, but you still need the body. It's only when the hand is attached that it can function. Amen. Back to this thing about singing. I've heard people say, you know, this church, I'm talking about any church, but this church is blessed because they have my musical ability. Yes, that may be, but what you got to think about, where did you develop that musical ability? Who let you sing when you first started singing? Who let you play on the piano when you couldn't get all the chords right, so you just held one down until they got back to it? Amen. Where did that all come to pass? It was the church. Why are you singing in church to start with? Because somebody prayed for you. A Sunday school teacher taught you. Amen. If you got anything to offer, it's because you're attached to the body. If you do anything for the body, it's because of the strength and the nutrition and the power and the enablement that comes from the body. I'm talking about why Paul said we should be humble. The finger can do great things for the body, but what does a detached finger, what worth is that? There's no worth in that. I've thought many times, Brother Brock, I'm not going to get this just right. And others have. I'm just thinking about what Brother Brock said. But Brother Brock has spent untold hours around here. He's been served on the board, Sunday school, superintendent, different things. But he told me years ago, and I won't get your quote just right, but he said, what this church has given me is far more than I've ever given the church. He said that many times. Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we're ungrateful for folks that contribute and give and give and work and donate and have special gifts. I'm thankful we have the music, we have all the other ministries. I'm not saying we're not thankful. I'm talking about Paul said why we should be humble. Because yes, we have gifts and abilities. But what would that mean if we weren't attached to this wonderful living thing of the body of Christ? Hallelujah. Dr. Halbig went to South Africa as a missionary. There was a leper's colony adjacent to the mission's compound. And one day he went up on the hillside to get alone and pray. And as he was up there, he noticed that the lepers were planting their little garden for sustenance. And he got to notice, and he didn't know what he was seeing at first. But as he looked down that distance, he finally figured out what it was. He thought it was one man, but as he got to looking closer, it was two lepers. And one of them, the leprosy had eaten off his hands. And the second leper, the leprosy had taken his legs. But the one with hands had climbed up on the back of the one with just legs. And the one with hands held his arm around that one's with just legs neck, holding a grain sack, a seed sack. And he'd reach in as he rode the back of the one with legs. He'd pull out a piece of corn and he would drop it in the row. And then the one with legs and no hands would take his feet and pull the dirt over it. Amen. Neither one on their own could plant peas. But Dr. Halbig said, together, the one with hands, no legs, the one with legs and no hands, when they came together, they could plant the peas. Hallelujah. We've all got something to give. That's why there's no smugness. But oh, when we come together and everyone's a giving and everyone's a doing and everyone's a offering their body a living sacrifice, doing what they can do, look what we can do for the kingdom of God. And then, last of all today, how should we be humble? How should we be humble? He tells us how. Look at verse 6 here. It says, having therefore gifts differing according to the grace that's given unto us. Here's how we do it. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. Teaching. Some folks think Paul's just being redundant, but what he's saying here, let's take the first one here. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy. He's saying if your gift is to prophesy, then you just worry about prophesying and don't worry about other things that need to be done that you don't have the gift for. You do your thing and let others worry about doing their thing. And there's another thing Paul's saying here is do your thing and just do your thing. I mean, do the thing that God has called you to do. God has called me to preach. I'm not going to try to direct the choir. And the choir said, amen. No need. There's no way for me to get proud around here. Just do your thing. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. You know, this is one of those scriptures, and I'll be through in a few minutes here, but this is another one of those scriptures that has been grossly misinterpreted because it's been taken out of context. Let me tell you how this verse has been interpreted. If we have a ministry, let us wait on our ministry. I have known those that have graduated from Bible school that said, I have a ministry. So they've graduated, and I'm not saying I know them here. I've just known them in my experience. They graduate from Bible school. There's no place for opened up, position opened up for them to be in. So they go to their home church. You can't get them to come to Sunday school. You can't get them to run a bus route. And you can't even get them to get a job. And you'll ask him, why aren't you going out looking for a job? Because I have a ministry and the Bible says that I should wait on my ministry. I'm going to sit here till God drops a position in my lap because I've got a ministry. You know, there's several things about that. Let me give you just a few. First of all, they misunderstand ministry. They're taking ministry as a position, an acclaimed special place. But the word ministry simply means to serve. You know what I believe the scripture teaches, and I know this from studying, that to serve means to do what needs to be done, but other people aren't eager to do it. That's what it means to serve. To do the thing that needs to be done that other folks aren't eager to do it. So if you have a ministry, if there's something to serve, then they misunderstand this word wait. They think wait means to fold the arms and do nothing till it drops in your lap. But to wait here means, what do you call the person that serves you at the restaurant? I mean, besides your wife. What do you call the one that serves you at the restaurant? What do you call them? Waitress. Or wait. That's what the word wait here means. It means if you've got a ministry, then start serving. Doesn't mean wait on it. Start serving in what you're calling a ministry. You know, if it was the way these folks take it, it would read like this. If you've got a ministry, then wait on your ministry. It doesn't say that. It said if you've got a ministry, wait on your or serve in what you are calling your ministry. Be a servant. It's about attitude. We are humble because we are just going to do our thing. Our thing. Just do your thing without trying to take over. I don't know if we get in trouble mentioning it, but some folks, you know, they really have their favorite softwares. And a lot of people, they love that Norton's. I won't get sued over this, but I don't like Norton's. You know what Norton's is? It's supposed to be antivirus program. The reason I don't like it, because when you install it or used to, it take over your whole computer. It wouldn't just do the thing you were installing it to do, get rid of the virus. It would take over your whole computer. Now I've got an antivirus program, and one of the reasons I love it is because it just does the thing that I want it to do. I'm telling you, the wonderful thing about ministry, if folks could just learn this, do what God has gifted and given you to do and just do that thing. I'm not saying you're lazy, you don't do other things. I'm saying you don't have to say, well, I've got to do this too and I got to do that too and I got to do everything and I got to do this. You just say, God has given me God has given some people the gift to intercede, and it doesn't matter to them if they ever have a microphone in their hand to sing. Amen. They're just going to pray till God moves. That's what Paul is saying. Do your thing. Amen. You may be a great teacher, but that doesn't mean you can drive that bus safely. Amen. Do your thing. I've come to the realization, I want to tell you this, one of the greatest things I've ever had happened right here in the church, and it was this. A person came to me and said, you know, there was a time I really thought I was called to preach. I really thought I was. But I've been seeking the Lord, and I realize that He's gifted me in another area. And said, now, listen, anytime you need a substitute Sunday school teacher, I'm willing to do that. And I got to thinking about it. I thought that was, and it wasn't because he got cold in his soul or drew away from the Lord or got away from God. It was just that he realized something. I'm not going to try to do anything except what God has given me to do. And remember how we started this? Paul said God has given everybody something to do in His kingdom. Amen. I'm going to move on. I'm going to skip some of this. Let's look at verse 8. He that exhorteth, let him wait on exhortation, or do serve in that area of exhortation. Even another way we keep ourselves humble is we do it with the right attitude. I want to give you a scenario today. Amen. Which would you rather have? Here's one singer that, like me, can hit everything pitch perfect. I mean, every note is crisp, right on. I mean, all the nuances of the melody are right in their singing. But when they sing, I mean, you can just tell they think, I am the expert. Would the rest of you pick up a few pointers from me? Listen to me sing. I mean, the angels are envious when I sing. I mean, that's the attitude that comes. Here's another person that gets up. Even you don't have to tell folks. Amen. But they know they're not the best singer. They know sometimes they miss a note. I mean, they practice, they try, but they know they're not the best singer. But they've gotten along with God, and they've prayed till there's a song in their heart, and they get up and they miss the pitch a little bit, and they skip over a word, but as they're singing, their attitude is, I hope somebody gets blessed. I hope God gets glorified and the Holy Ghost comes. Which of the two singers would you rather hear? Which of the two singers? Oh, you know, it's the second one. Amen. Do it with the right attitude. And here's what he says here. He that giveth, let him give with simplicity. If you're able to give, amen, then that's your gift to give. But when you give, you're doing it with nothing but the pure motive that you desire to be a blessing. You're not giving to influence people. You're not giving so you can later use that for leverage. You're not giving it to boost your ego. You're not giving so people will think you're righteous. You're giving because it's your gift to give. And all you care about is people get blessed and God gets glorified. I'm telling you, that's the attitude to have. He that ruleth with diligence. If you have a position of authority, the only motive you have is to do a good job, to make the right decisions, knowing that you're accountable to God. Even someone asked me sometime, is it hard not to get a big head preaching? And I'm not saying I'm not a man, I'm not human. But I'm telling you, whenever that starts to happen, I think of a little mini vision God gave me one day. To be behind this pulpit is kind of like, Brother Michael, where you at? Driving that bus. Everybody on that bus, you're accountable for their safety. And how can I get a big head preaching when I know that when I'm up here, I'm accountable for every word. I'm accountable whether people get the truth and make it to heaven. Amen. There's no pride in that. Amen. It's not about ego. If you've got authority, it's not about power. It isn't that you feel power or feel self-importance, that you're sought out or you're feared or people respect you. In fact, if you've really got the right attitude with your authority, amen, then you don't even realize you're not aware of your authority when you're exercising it. You're exercising authority, but you're not thinking, well, I've got authority. You're just doing what the right thing is to do. Amen. Some people, if you wear authority on you, amen, that's not the right thing. If you've got authority, amen, then do it with diligence. Do it right. He that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Amen. You're merciful to people, but you don't complain about it. You don't reprove them. You're not harsh. You're just merciful. Amen. Gave money to someone begging for it this week. The first thing I want to do is start complaining. complaining about. Yeah, I was merciful. I gave them some money, but why don't they have a job? Why don't they do this? How come that? Amen. Paul said, if you got the gift of mercy, just show mercy with a cheerfulness. Forget the complaining and the reproof. Amen. Since I do this or that in the church, my opinion should carry weight. Perhaps it should. Amen. But that should not be my attitude. I believe the worst pride is the pride that doesn't recognize that it's proud. I think we all ought to pray, God, I want to be holy. I want to be holy. And so, Lord, would you help me humble myself before you have to do it? How many believe Jesus' words? He that exalteth himself shall be humbled, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. If you want to be exalted into holy living, then humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he'll exalt you to that place of living. Would you come, music? And so this morning, if you're here, you need to be saved. If you'll humble yourself and say, oh God, I have nothing to give, would you save me? He'll save you. If you're here this morning and there's something you need to overcome, if you come to God and say, God, I don't have the means of overcoming, I need your help, he'd help you overcome. If God has given you a gift, a place to ministry, oh, the way you can be helpful is to throw yourself on the rock, Christ Jesus, and say, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. How many know the sufficiency is not of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I am the vine, you are the branches, and without me, you can do nothing. Oh, it's in that humility that we feel the Spirit of God arise in us and things begin to happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, why are you preaching this? Because God laid this series on my heart a long time ago, and this was the next thing in the book. Hallelujah. To give yourself your body as a living sacrifice is to serve with your gift in the church, but to serve with the attitude of humility and gratefulness. Hallelujah. I've told this perhaps a few times in the past, but I want to close with it. I want a time that God taught me some humility. That's why I learned that prayer, Lord, humble me. Help me to humble myself before you have to humble me. I was still quite young, and I was asked to take over the Christian school there at Neosho, and at the time they had over 100 students, and I was the new principal. During that year, they have a Christian ed program. During that year, they'd send students down to the principal's office to learn from him, you know, ask him questions, interview him, and that kind of stuff. And most of those students were my age or just a little younger. And I wasn't meaning to, but I sat there in that chair, and they'd come into that office and hear their interviewing me. And I sat up pretty high in that chair for a while. You know, I thought, well, you know, I mean, look where I'm at. I'm being honest. Just being honest with you, okay? There's only one problem. My predecessor was Brother Holmes. He was a good friend. I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you the story. But how many remembers Brother Holmes' size? Very large man. Well, that big old chair with its back clear up past the head, big old padded thing, he would sit on that thing. It had two cushions on the bottom, the main cushion, this cushion at the front. He had sat on that, and because of his stature, he had pushed that front cushion of the chair, of the bottom of the chair, past the support of it, past the wood. So that, Sister Brock, that pushed out part of the cushion went way out in front. I forgot that one day. I had a student there. He was my age, and he was sitting there interviewing me. And so I thought it looked pretty good. So I scooted way down, Brother Steve. Cross my hands like this and listen to him. Well, I forgot that I'd scooted out on that pooched out part that was past the support of the chair. And I decided to lean up to make a point. And when I did, my weight went like this. And the chair went like this. And the back of the chair hit me in the head and knocked me under the desk. Under the desk. I came crawling up, you know, like this. I wish I could tell you the name. I'm going to preserve the name. But the student was one that hardly ever shows emotion. And when I come crawling up out of there, he's got a big old, he's red in the face going. Brother Keith, I sat differently in that chair thereafter. God showed me something that day. I ain't anywhere. I ain't got anything He didn't give me. And if I'm going to be a blessing and a help, it's not because of me. I may have gifts and abilities, but it'll only be as I give them to the Lord. And I humbly say, Lord, if anything good's done, it's going to be because You've done it through me. Hallelujah. I know we focused on ministry, but Brother Bill, I want to live right. But I can be sitting in my chair of holiness like this. It ain't holiness. It ain't holiness unless I'm living right, sitting in the chair like I did after I crawled up out from underneath the desk. Amen. How many wants to get it right? Let's stand across. I know you. I appreciate your patience. I just want to remind you one more time, because there's going to be portions like this. I mean, last Sunday morning, Brother Brian was a shouting, but there's going to be portions like this. But underline this whole thing, this series and other things in my heart is, Lord, I don't want anything else or anyone else to find to me what living for You is. I want to get it from the book. Not piecemeal phrase here and there. I want to know what the book says. And Paul says, when you get it right, when I get it right, we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought. There's just a humility there. Amen. Father, thank You for Your goodness. Let's raise our hands and thank You for all He's done for us. Hallelujah. I want to invite you to come this morning. If you don't know the Lord, we've had folks praying the altar. God's been meeting them with salvation. Amen. If you don't know the Lord, just come and humble yourself and say, Lord, I have nothing to bring. I have nothing to offer except myself. And I'm going to give You myself this morning at this altar. Amen. Again, I'm thankful for everything everybody does. But I'm just going to give You the call of this scripture and say, if you want to be used of God like you've never been used, amen, if that's you, you'd come to God and say, God, if I do any good, it's going to be because You do it through me. And I've given what I have. I give my gifts and my abilities. I lay them on the altar. And I give my body a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable. Would you fill these altars this morning? Say, God, that's what I want. Hallelujah. 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 That's what I want. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Jesus.
Only like You, Lord.
It's by Your gift of grace, Lord.
It's my desire, Lord, to be holy like You.
Bring Your ability as an offering to God. Bring Your talent as an offering to God. I give it to You, Lord. I give myself to You. Everybody has a gift. Everybody has a gift.
To be holy.